Hi, my name is Juliet, and I'm the host for this podcast. I will be ordained as a rabbi this coming January, and one of the things I love about Judaism is connecting the Torah reading with contemporary life. In Judaism, there's a specific Torah portion for every week of the year, and as we go through these readings week by week, in order from the beginning of the Torah to the end, from the beginning of the Jewish year to the end, we analyze the stories and we comment on them. By connecting these stories to contemporary life, we bring these ancient stories alive, which is one of my great passions. I think I said that before, but I'm saying it again. I hope you'll accompany me as I tell these stories of Torah and of my life and the lives of others. And if you miss an episode, you can always go back and find it wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for coming on this ancient and contemporary journey with me. And please visit my website, lenegditamid.us. That's LNEGDITAMID.us. Make sure you put .us, not .com, different person. Visit my website to learn more about me and my journey through Judaism. And I'm available to lead services, chanting circles, for weddings, funerals, b'nai mitzvahs, any kind of transitions. And for donations, please visit it as well to support this work of my podcasts and my writing. Would be so much appreciated. On to today's subject, from bloody guilt to Mazel Tov and Shoftim. So at the end of this week's Parsha, Shoftim, there's a very strange ritual. Its purpose is to cleanse the Israelite community of any blood guilt incurred in the case of a homicide whose perpetrator is unknown or unfound. It involves a heifer, a young female calf, too young to work or give birth, the elders of the town, the local Levite priests, and an ever-flowing nearby stream. The elders break the heifer's neck by the stream. Whoa! Wash their hands with blood over the animal. I'm not sure if it's the heifer's blood or if it's the murdered person's blood. Unclear. And they make a declaration of innocence. They say, I've never seen this person, never heard of this person, don't know anything, and thus they are free of guilt before God. And this ritual seems strange to us, but each element had meaning for the people of its time. Over the next 5 weeks or so, the Jewish community will be finishing an entire year of Torah readings. This weekly Torah reading is a ritual in itself. We've also just entered the month of Elul, the month before Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Yom Kippur, which is when we atone for our quote-unquote sins. Some people are uncomfortable with that word. I am too. So however you would like to redefine it, I put it in quotes. And so on Yom Kippur, we wash away our guilt, symbolically. It is a time of transition when we prepare for these high holy days by looking inward, examining our thoughts and behavior over the past year, considering ways in which we can do better in the coming year. One of our rituals is to hear the blowing of the shofar, the ram's horn, every day during this month. It's a reminder to wake up, do things differently, hear something different. The Israelites of the ancient world of the Bible, I mean, if you think about even the shofar, the fact that we're using a ram's horn, this is an ancient, very ancient thing, and we're still making these. We're still taking the horns of rams and making horns out of them and blowing them. Like, whoa, talk about connecting to the ancient world. And the Israelites of the ancient world of the Bible have also been in a transition period, preparing to enter their new land over the past bunch of weeks. Weekly, there has been a review of the laws God gave them. Moses is standing there talking to them and reminding them of all the laws that God gave them as a recipe for how to live a righteous life as a people in their holy land going forward. Transitions take a lot of work, both inner and outer. Even joyful transitions. And I have so many happening in my family this week. Here we go. Most importantly, my elder daughter is getting married. preparing for the wedding, cleaning the house for guests, shopping for food. A lot of work. My younger daughter, too, is going through big changes. She just began her fall classes in her almost last year of college. She's moving to a new apartment this week, tomorrow, in fact, with new roommates, saying goodbye to old friends. It's joyful, it's sad, and it's full of unknowns. She's not breaking up with these friends. She's still friends with them, but still, it's a big change. And there's been a lot of sadness for her. And it's also exciting. I'm also turning 60, September 1st. Thank you, Mazel Tov. A birthday that both American and Jewish cultures give importance to, and I hardly have time to mark or celebrate it. I went just out of curiosity. I remembered that when I turned 50, I learned that 50 was a big year in Judaism. 50 is a year of wisdom or sharing you can start giving other people opinions. Advice. That's interesting, right? It's like unsolicited advice? Maybe not. Maybe you should wait still for people to come to you for advice. But you do. I remember feeling like this was a time of new wisdom. And now I looked it up, and on My Jewish Learning, it said in Pirkei Avot, the lessons from our fathers, or however they translate that, I forget. 60 is getting old. Well, is getting old? I could think of it as having more wisdom, too. The older you get, the more wisdom you have, right? I mean, it's true. So anyway, all this to say, lots of transitions, not the least of which is preparing for this new year, which is also the year I complete my rabbinical studies. Even the world, I mean, that's a big deal, right? Getting ordained, becoming ordained. And even the world is going through big transitions, hopefully for the greater good over time, but it's painful in the meantime. As I said, transitions are challenging. While they may signify growth, entering into a new phase, they can also carry some sadness and loss of youth, of parenting in the same way, of things as we knew them before. There's also a saying goodbye. And with that comes varying degrees of grief. So rituals help us through these periods of transition and any accompanying grief. They may be prescribed by the traditions of our community, often from religion, and are a way of making meaning. Weddings are rituals signifying commitment between two people, but they also involve family and community. We laugh and we also cry. The Jewish High Holy Days are a time of recommitment to making changes in ourselves for the sake of relationships and community. A time of admitting that we are merely humans who will continue to make mistakes. And they're a time of connecting with remorse, which is an emotion and a tool that helps us recommit to changes. I had a whole discussion about, are they a tool or are they an emotion? I feel like they're both. I feel like remorse is both a tool that humans have that can help us reflect, or in reflecting, we can have remorse, and then it can lead, so it becomes a tool to help us make changes, to recommit to changes. But it's also an emotion. It's both at the same time. And we connect with remorse, with regret on the High Holy Days. My blessing for this week is that we each find ways of integrating ritual into our lives, old and new. Old and new rituals. May we connect and reconnect to our fellow humans. May we recommit to ourselves and our relationships with each other and the earth. And in the Jewish tradition of joyful occasions, even when tinged with a little sadness, Mazel Tov! And let us say Amen. Thanks for being here with me today, and I'll let you know how the wedding went next week. Okay, bye.